Well, I just enjoyed the singing tonight. I wouldn't care if you'd have sang five more. I ain't sure how good the preaching is going to be yet. God's good. Well, I thank God that he saved my soul. Amen. No matter what, amen, I'll never have to go to hell. No matter what, I've got a home in heaven. Amen. No matter what happens tomorrow, no matter what happens tonight, no matter what happens this week, I know my Lord saved my soul. Amen. He's going to be there for me always. Amen. It's good to see everybody tonight. I'm just trying to get over the nerves. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, and we'll start reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in Hallelujah. I just feel something good in my heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all can sit down. It's all right. Everybody, I'm sorry. Everybody does it different. I can't think good enough to make sure y'all. Anyways, my soul. God's just big in my heart. Hallelujah. I said, I'll never have to go to hell. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. No matter how good I am to him, he's always good to me. Amen. Hallelujah. I may not know how to get deep. Amen. But I like to wallow around in what I can get in. Amen. Hallelujah. It might not get the river, might not flow deep when I preach. Amen, but I like to wallow around in the creek while I'm trying. Amen. God is good. Amen, you glad you're saved tonight? If you've been born again, you'll never, ever have to see the flames that burn in an eternal hell tonight. Because not because you're worthy, not because you're good enough, but because an almighty, all-gracious, all-loving God gave his only begotten Son. Amen, that you'd never, never have to be, amen, without him. Hallelujah. I got good news for you. If you've never been born again, if you're not saved tonight and you're feeling a little nervous when God gets to stirring around, you do not have to leave the way that you came. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm feeling better already. Hallelujah. We'll get there in a minute. Amen. Dear Lord, help us. We'll start over. Now, in verse number 1, now I, Paul, myself, hallelujah. I hope y'all getting what I'm getting. I know I ain't. You say, what's happening? God's just meeting my needs. Hallelujah. I'm going to try again. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. It wouldn't surprise me if my preacher, hallelujah, is praying for me right now. I can't get started. I can't hardly. Verse number 2, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I'm present with that confidence wherewith I think so. Think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. You know, we walk in the flesh, but we do not walk according to the flesh. That's how the Bible said that not many wise are chosen, not many great are chosen. Amen. But God chose the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Amen. God uses simple things. God uses base things to confound, amen, great things. God's message of the gospel, God's book, amen, it's a simple message. And serving the Lord is a simple thing to do. I didn't say it was easy. I said it's simple. He moves and we respond in the right manner. It's a simple thing. You do not have to be a wise man to serve the Lord according to this world's wisdom. You do not have to be educated according to this world's wisdom, amen, to be able to serve our Lord. Amen. I think about Peter and those other disciples. When they saw him, they said they knew that these were uneducated men, but they could tell that they had been with Jesus. Amen. You don't have to reach a certain plateau in Christianity. Amen. It's not about what you look like. It's not a Paul speaking, not with eloquence of speech or with man's wisdom, and I'm paraphrasing, but in manifestation of the Spirit of God. Amen. It's not about how well you can speak. It's not about how good you are. It's not about who you are. Amen. It's about who He is. Amen. We walk in the Spirit, but not after the flesh. In verse number 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not, watch this word, war after the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down. To the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Did you know that you and I both are in a warfare? Did you know that you and I both have enemies? Real, bona fide, heartless enemies. Did you know that God is for us? I know. But did you know that there are entities that are against us and that would attack us and that would bring us down, and that are many times the reason and explanation why we find ourselves down and low and defeated and bound up and snared up? Let me read a few things and we'll get back to that. There's some things that you get when you get born again. Over in 1 Peter, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read a few things real quickly. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and our Father, blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When you got saved, when you were begotten by God's mercy, you received a lively hope. And I thought about that and I studied that this afternoon, and I'm not sure whether it's hope filled with life or life filled with hope. Amen. But I know this, you got life on the inside that was not there. Amen. Before you got saved, when I knelt down over there and got born again, when I stood up, God had installed a brand new life. Amen. Things were changed and I got a new life. The song said I got a brand new life and I just started living. Amen. Boy, aren't you glad you got resurrection life stirring around on the inside? Amen. One of these days we'll have resurrection life on the outside. Number 2, in verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You got a lively hope and you got a perfect, pure inheritance that fadeth not away. You say, well, I hadn't done much for God. It doesn't matter if you've been born again. You've got an inheritance on the other side in glory that fadeth not away. This is not all there is to it. It gets better than this. Amen. Hey, you've got a mansion over in glory that Jesus Christ has prepared for you. There's a brand new body that'll never see ailment, and never a heart that'll never suffer pain, and eyes that'll never cry tears, waiting for you and waiting for me. And it all happened. It was all applied to our account
the day you got saved, the day I got saved. There's nobody that can take that away from us. In verse number 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. We have a protection. We received from that day, God marked it down, sealed, and we are protected from that day. It said, unto salvation, which is ready to be revealed in the last day. That means He's going to keep on protecting us until we don't need protecting anymore. Amen. You say, well, when our salvation is in part, the inward man, the inward man has been saved, the outward man is still waiting. Amen. When Jesus comes back in the clouds, amen, and we get our brand new bodies, then everything about our outward man will catch up with our inward man. Amen. And we will be, our salvation will be complete. Amen. But we're still battling and warring and fussing and struggling with this outward man. Amen. But He promised that we would have protection until we didn't need it any longer. Hallelujah. Now that protection is not to keep you from going astray necessarily, but that protection is there even if you go astray. Amen. That doesn't mean you'll never fall by the wayside. That doesn't mean that you'll never get your eyes off of Jesus. That doesn't mean that your love for the Lord God Almighty won't ever grow cold. But it just means that if it does, amen, nobody can take away the things. Amen. You'll never get so far that you've lost what God gave you the day that you got saved. You're protected. Amen. We got some pretty good things in this deal the day we got saved. But you know what else we got involved in? Whether I like it, whether you like it, whether I want it, or whether you want it, we're involved in a warfare. That's right. I like to hear war stories, but you know what? If you get to thinking about war stories, even though they're interesting, somebody's dying. Somebody's getting hurt. Somebody's getting wounded. And you know what? The same thing about war stories for Christians? People get hurt. People get wounded. You get down. I get down. Hey, there's times when I believe, amen, that Satan, I believe the harder you press and try to follow after God, amen, the harder he presses and tries, the devil tries to get to you and tries to stop it. When you get born again, the war, the battle is no longer over your soul. It's sealed until the day of redemption. If I could sing like Charles Johnson, I would. Hallelujah. It's no longer over your soul, but what's the war over? It's over the life that you live for the Lord Jesus while you're here on this earth. What Satan is after, what he's trying to stop, what he's trying to disrupt, what he's trying to bring down, what he's trying to spoil, and what he's trying to embarrass is the fact of you fulfilling the will of God for your life, amen, while you're here on this earth. Satan's after it. And I got news for you. There's a part of you and there's a part of me that ain't interested in it either. The prize is no longer your soul, but the prize is your testimony. The prize is whether or not your life gives glory unto God the Father. Amen. Did you know that it glorifies God the Father for us to bear much fruit? And when I am not bearing much fruit, amen, somehow along the way I have become defeated in the war or in a battle that's going on in my life. Amen. The prize is valuable. It's no longer over my soul, but it may determine the eternal destiny of other people's souls. Whether or not I'm right with God and have God moving and stirring and bearing fruit in my life may determine whether or not those people that are in my life get saved or not. Hey, did you know that you're the only person in somebody's life that knows the Lord Jesus?
Amen. Somebody is counting on you, amen, to have victory in your life so that they might find out about the Lord God, amen, from you and from me. You say, amen, it's important. It's a valuable prize. And one of these days we're going to stand, I'll be honest with you, I don't like to think about this a whole lot. I'm going to have to stand before the Lord one of these days and give account for what I've done with the time that I've been allotted in this life. And I will gain or lose reward accordingly. And I'll be honest, Brother Tim preached that, I guess, about a month ago, and it disturbed me. I went and began to study. And you know what I found out after I studied? One of these days, I'm going to stand before the Lord, and I'm going to either gain or lose reward according. You said you done said, I found out that that's exactly what it means. I heard somebody say one time, I hadn't always done everything wrong, and they pointed and said, well, I did this and this. Yeah, but you can lose reward for faithful years of prior service. It's how we finish. And I don't know when I'm going to finish, and I don't know when you're going to finish, but one day we will finish. It's a valuable prize. Number two, the enemies in this war, and you already know this, I'm not going to stay here long. I want to get to my third point. Miss Paula said 20 minutes tonight, so we're done. She did, I'm not joking. You and I both know that there's a devil, and there's a devil walking about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And you know what we get to thinking sometimes? God doesn't have to have us. I know that. I'm a nothing and a nobody. I was thinking today, if I am the clay and God's the potter, sometimes I feel like a pile of busted up pottery in the potter house floor. I mean, that's what, I know God doesn't have to have me. But if we start thinking and feeling like our responsibility to serve the Lord and the battle for God to have the victory in our life, your life and my life is not important, if you start thinking that you can somehow hide away in obscurity and not serve the Lord and it really won't matter because you're not all that important in the scheme of things anyway, that's not true. The Bible says that no man liveth to himself and dieth to himself. You say, well, I'm not this or I'm not that or I don't. No man liveth to himself and dieth to himself. Hey, if you think for one minute that the devil doesn't care much about you serving the Lord because you're not in some position or you're not in some, you don't hold, you're wrong. I'm going to be honest with you. When I first got saved, the excitement of Jubilee is very contagious. The excitement of preachers coming in from all over the place and preaching, it's infectious. And I'll be honest, this is not very, I don't really like sharing this, but I thought, what if God were to let me... serve, be an evangelist and people were to come from all over and you know what? If I minister to 10, hey man, there's some places where you can't draw a crowd because ain't nobody to draw a crowd from. Does that make me any less important? Does that mean that those 10 people that you're ministering to or those 15 or those 5 people that you work with are any less important than any 5? No. Amen. What you got and what God has given you, amen, as a Christian, the people that surround you are just as important. Their souls are just as costly, amen, in the salvation. And then God, Jesus paid just as much for them. There's a devil that would love to keep you defeated and deceived in this war.
That's right. Amen. He's got a plan for you and for me to keep us down. But you know what I found out, and I preached one time up at a Jubilee meeting. Man, they called me off the floor. I thought I was by. I wasn't there. And I'll be honest with you, I bombed out. Man, I learned from one of my Bible college teachers. I was telling Miss Paula this earlier. She said, how long are you going to preach? I said, one of my Bible college teachers told me, said, son, even a washing machine got enough sense to cut off when the water stops. But, man, when the water don't never start flowing, you got to come up with something. And after about 5 or 10 minutes, I was ready to hide. And I tried to, and I was preaching somewhere along these lines, and Brother Alan Barker, man, he stood up. Man, you know how it is. I mean, you might not think it's like this, but when you stand up and there's all kinds of well-known preachers around and you're wondering, why ain't they preaching? Why am I, and you do something like what I did that day. And then he had to get up and give his 2 cents on what he thought I was preaching. Now, I ain't being disrespectful, because I found out later what he said was right. And I was blaming everything on the devil. And you know, there's a lot of times I believe that he or his imps, his whatever, they cast fiery darts. But you know what he said? He stood up and he said, I like Brother Mark Hill and Wise. Maybe I'm back. You know, I'm recovering. He said, but I found out something. He said, you know what? We blame a lot of things on the devil, and he ain't nowhere around. It's just plain old us. I said, man, I'm ready to go home. I didn't want to stay for the rest of the meeting. And you know what I found? I tried every way I could to prove him wrong. I didn't want to accept it. But you know what? You know what I found out? Well, I make a big enough mess on my own. Last night we was in Six Flags, and usually, now there ain't nothing special, but usually we went to Wendy's afterwards. Most of the time when somebody rubs me the wrong way, most of the time, by God's grace, I know something's going to happen tomorrow, and I know it's going to be next time I preach as illustrations. Most of the time, I don't even want to say it. Sometimes, I'm going to get it right in a minute where it's right. It's right to just let it roll off your back. Move along. A soft answer turneth away wrath. But I'm not sure if that verse in Proverbs applies to after you've been up since 5 o'clock and you have 30 teenagers at Six Flags, and then you leave an hour and a half late from Six Flags, and I thought, man, they're going to kill me. Them parents is going to kill me. They're already waiting, and we ain't even left. And this lady come out, Lord, help her. Y'all help me to pray for her. There was 40 people in the front of a Wendy's. There was a, she called it, I don't know what, she called it something. It's one of them winding parts before you get up to the cash register. They had 2 cash registers. That meant that there were still 38 people in that little windy thing. And I was over there sitting there with my head on the table. And my wife has no sympathy. She said, come up here and stand with me. And I came up there and I stood. And that lady came out from behind the counter one time, just like a banny rooster. Y'all going to have to get back in the serpentine. Y'all going to have to... Serpentine. Is that what she called it? I mean, she done flipped that thing up on the side of her head where them people in the drive-thru. I mean, she had something had... gave her a bad day. But we hadn't been there long enough for it to be us. Most of the time, I try to be okay, but she had done went to yelling at the youth group. And everybody thought I was being grumpy, Miss Myra, but it really was to save her from my wife. Because my wife had done started backing up and turning red and shaking. And when my wife began to talk to the lady, she covered her ears up. And she said, "Hey." I said, "Ma'am, are you talking to us?" And she didn't. I said, "Ma'am, are you talking about us?" She said, "I'm trying to keep this thing organized." I said, "Well, if you had had a good attitude, they might listen to you." And I thought to myself, you know what? Every one of them teenagers was going. I went, "Brother, I don't know, it's Dallas." Somebody said, "Did you say all that?" I said, "Yeah, I sort of did." My wife said, "I want you to know," and you're going to have to call that manager tomorrow just to keep from lying. She said, "I want you to know that you're going to hear from the manager." 5 minutes later, that lady brought me a refill. She said, "Here you go, sir. Have a good evening." You know what? My first mistake was when my wife caught me. No, I'm just kidding. My first mistake was when I opened my fat mouth. Because when the floodgate opened, I could not stop the water. Sometimes I don't need any help at all. I am my worst enemy. I don't need any help. There's plenty of sin in this body. What are you laughing at, Jordan? To get this job done. Satan is not your only enemy in this warfare. You and I are pretty sorry all on our own. That's right. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, for these two are contrary. That means that the inner man, the spiritual man, always, you know, I had trouble with this verse in 1 John. It said, "He that is born of God sinneth not." I said, "The preacher told me to read this to get assurance." But that ain't talking about me, because I'm having trouble. But later I realized that it's not the outward part that is born of God, but now I have two natures struggling on the inside. The inward man that is born of God sinneth not. You see, there's a part of me that always wants to submit to the will of God. There's a part of me that no matter what, it always wants to do what God wants done. That's the spiritual man. But the part that I have the trouble with is this old man on the outside that's striving and battling and struggling with the spiritual man, amen, that says, "I don't really feel like doing that. I don't feel as if I'm good in that area. I would rather not. I don't know if I just go ahead and yell at the lady who's running the Wendy's. It's okay. You've got a good reason." I see you smiling. I got to pick on them girls. Number three, you have a choice in the war. The choice in the battle or in the war is not whether or not you decide to be in the battle or the war. Satan will bring it to your doorstep. You're going to fall short enough. There's enough vibrance left in that old person striving against the spiritual person that you're not going to have to worry whether or not you're in the war. The choice remains is if you are going to fight back or if you are going to quit on God and give up. The choice is whether or not you will fight back to gain and to maintain the things that God has accomplished in your life, or if you will quit on God and sit down and give up, and you're still in the war, but you're not fighting any of the battles. There's lots of reasons that people quit on the Lord, quit fighting. Some of the time it's because you And I say this with absolute respect, because you've been in the fight what seems like so long, and it's just time just to sit down. Sometimes it's because of previous failures, and you don't want to face the shame and the embarrassment that comes along with trying to get back up and get back in the fight and serve God again. There's nothing proud about failing, falling flat on your face before God and messing up when everybody sees it. Hey, there's nothing about that to cause you to get puffed up. As a matter of fact, it's a whole lot harder to get back up and to get back in the fight after you failed and faced the embarrassment and faced the shame. By the way, let me just toss this in. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame." If he faced shame for me, then I ought to be willing to get up and face some shame for him. It's not easy. One of the worst things in this world to me is to be embarrassed. Don't get me up and I know who, I don't know who it was yesterday said, "You sure don't mind embarrassing people." I mean real shame and embarrassment. Sometimes people quit because it seemed like it's been a long time since you got some victory. But keep fighting. Bible says Jesus set his face like a flint. Amen. That means that there was nothing turning him away. "I'm going to fight till it's over." He fought till he said, "It is finished." Sometimes people quit just because they get their eyes off the Lord. I don't know. You can fill in the blank. There's whole lots of reasons why people quit fighting. Sometimes somebody around you might get elevated to a position that you thought that you might should have had. And so you're going to puff up and quit on God. There is no good reason to puff up and quit on the Lord. There's nothing that can justify. There's a whole lot of things that might make it understandable in our eyes, but there's nothing that justifies quitting on God. He went all the way for us. It's good for us to go all the way for him. Amen. I'm going to close with this. We had a Bible college teacher. He preached this thing once a year at least. And he told us about, and this I guess it was before my time, at least it was before I was old enough to hear or understand, there was a fight between Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier in the Philippines called the Thriller in Manila. And I didn't see it, but I did do some reading about it. And you know what I found out? First place I heard from it was at my Bible college teacher. But I did some reading on it on my own. Joe Frazier ended up losing that fight. He said, "I hit Muhammad Ali." I think I got that right. Was it George Foreman, Muhammad Ali? Some of y'all, I know one of y'all watched it. Fine. Was it Joe Frazier, Muhammad Ali? That's right. I knew I had it right. Joe Frazier said, "I hit him with punches that would have brought down the walls of a building." I mean, they duked it out. Talk about two cocky rascals going at it. Neither one of them wanted to lose. They wanted to be the man. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, 12 or 13 rounds the fight was set for. And right before the last round, Joe Frazier threw in the towel, or somebody in his corner threw in the towel. He quit. And he lost the Thriller in Manila, and he was not the champion, but he was defeated. And later, after that fight, Muhammad Ali said, if it had held out 10 more seconds, my towel would have hit the floor first. If he could have just held on just a few more seconds, he would have been the victor. Oh my goodness. Somebody is listening to, I ain't even going to. Oh, I have lost. I want to know who I got to blame for messing up my conclusion. Brandy, cut that. You know what he titled his message? It wasn't Honeybee. It was failure is not fatal unless it's final. Somebody said like this one time. He said, do you know what success is? I saw it on a commercial. I know some of y'all's wheels are turning. It wasn't a commercial, it was a TV show, but success is moving from one failure to the next without losing your enthusiasm. If you think or you expect perfection out of yourself, you've got the wrong expectations. Success is moving from one failure to the next without losing your enthusiasm. It's not whether you get knocked down. It's not whether you get sideways with God. It's not, but it's whether or not you get back up. You don't have to practice how to fall. You don't have to practice how to get messed up. You don't have to practice how to goof up. You don't have to, but you got to learn and you got to work and you got to put forth effort and initiative to get back up. I don't care if you've been down for 2 or 3 years. Get up. Hey, somebody's counting on you. Somebody's depending on whether or not you quit fighting or not. Failure is not fatal unless it's final. Unless you quit. Failure. Hey, you know what? And I'm closing. Brother Tim, you can come on. Do you know who the only man in the Bible to be listed as a man after God's own heart? It was King David. Do you know who the greatest king of the nation of Israel ever was? It was King David. Do you know whose throne that Jesus is going to sit on, amen, when he comes back to inhabit the throne? It's the throne of David. Now, what do most of you and I remember about King David when we hear his name? Hello. It's not whether or not you mess up, but it's whether or not you get back up. Do you know who it was that saved the fate of all humanity in the Old Testament by building an ark and obeying God and getting his family, you know, getting those 8 people on the ark? Amen. Do you know you know his name? Do you know what happened to him when he got off the ark first thing? It's not whether or not you fail God, but it's whether or not you get back up after you fail God. I guarantee you everyone in here has failed God this week. And if you let it, it'll get you lower and lower and lower, and you'll stay down. Don't stay down. Somebody's counting on you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Stand. If the Lord's dealt with your heart, you feel like you need to come pray, the altar's open. If you've never been born again, boy, it'd be a good night to get in. Get a fresh start with Jesus.